David, I appreciate those songs. Some of my favorite songs are songs about heaven. And so I enjoy singing those type of songs. With your indulgence tonight, I'm going to step away from our discussions on biblical geography. I appreciate all the kind words that all of you have given me. It's been very encouraging, and I appreciate it very much. I enjoy talking and studying about biblical geography, and I enjoy teaching about it. But for right now, I want to step away from that for one lesson because of something that happened this month, and I thought you would enjoy hearing about it. As many of you know, this month, Barbara Jo and myself, as well as my sister Bonnie, went with my parents to Switzerland 3 or 4 weeks ago. This was to celebrate my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And let me just pause right here to say that there are many people in this audience that have been married for a long time. And that's very encouraging to all of us. That's very encouraging for those of us who have been married and are working on our marriage. Marriage is hard. At least that's what Tabitha tells me. I've never actually noticed that, but she claims that it is very hard. But it's very, very encouraging for all of you in the audience that have been married for so long. It's encouraging to us. But someone asked me, before we went, I can't actually remember who it was. Someone asked me if I would come back and I'd be preaching about our trip to Switzerland. And I said, no, no, no. They were joking, of course. And I said, no, of course not. Because this trip doesn't really lend itself to a sermon. So tonight I'm going to be talking about our trip to Switzerland. But something happened on the trip that I thought, as I said, I would share with all of you. But before I get to that, let me make a quick statement about Switzerland. Switzerland is a European landlocked country. There it is in red. Nearly the northern half of it is flat. And the southern half of it has the Alps mountain range. If you've been there or seen any pictures, you know how beautiful those are. We had intended on spending most of our time in what's called the Bernese Oberland, which is this area that I've highlighted in on the map here. And it would actually be wrong of me, I think, if I were to come up here and actually talk about Switzerland without at least showing a couple pictures. And so we had rented a chalet in the Lauterbrunnen Valley, and when we got up every morning, we looked out and we saw this view, looking south down the Lauterbrunnen Valley with the Alps in the distance. And when it was clear, we would ride trains to the top and walk along paths and do some hiking. And once there, we would see some amazing things. I've been fortunate enough in my time to be able to travel to the Rockies here in the United States, in Colorado and Wyoming, Montana. And I've been a couple times to the Canadian Rockies, but I don't know that anything prepared me for what I saw in Switzerland. You know, the psalmist tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And I don't know that ever meant more than when we were over there. It's these type of scenes that remind me how honored we are to be able to call God our Heavenly Father. Which brings us to the topic I want to discuss tonight, which is the family of God. If you've ever traveled to Europe, you know that it's an overnight flight. So Tabitha and I left here on a Friday, flew from here, from Huntsville to Detroit, Detroit to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Zurich. And so we landed in Zurich mid-morning on Saturday, and we spent most of Saturday touring around the city of Zurich. As I said, we want to spend most of our time here, but we landed in Zurich. And we spent most of the Saturday afternoon traveling around Zurich and seeing the sights there. But then toward the end of the day, we took a train up to the city of Basel, which sits right at the very northern part of Switzerland. And it's a Swiss city. It's in Switzerland, but part of the city actually lies within Germany, and part of it actually lies in France. And so in Basel, as well as most of Switzerland, they speak what they call Swiss German. It's mostly German, but it's their kind of rendition. It's their own rendition of German. And so that's primarily what they speak. But we went up to Basel, which is kind of the opposite way we were intending to go, so that we could worship with the Christians there on Sunday morning. You know, we read in the book of Acts of Paul rerouting his trips or delaying parts of it or rushing to get somewhere so that he could worship with the Christians on Sunday. And I think that's something important for all of us to do when we travel. There's a number of reasons why that's important. But if for no other reason, it gives us the chance to meet with our family. As Christians, one of the advantages that we have to traveling is to meet members of our spiritual family, which is what we did. And I want to spend the rest of the lesson telling you a little bit about them. Sometimes we have the tendency, at least I do, to think of the church as the people within these four walls right here. And I think the way God set it up with individual congregations and leadership within those congregations, that was intended. But there's also a part of the church that is universal. And we have brothers and sisters that not only are right here in these four walls, but are all over the world. And I want to tell you a little bit about these people from Switzerland. In Switzerland, there are probably half a dozen, seven or eight maybe, churches in the country. But let me tell you a little bit about our brethren in Basel. The congregation has been around for a long time, about 12 years ago. They've been around really since about World War II. But about 12 years ago, they actually purchased a piece of property. And the property is on the first floor of an apartment building. In fact, this is the lower section of that building. They purchased this about 12 years ago, and they completely remodeled it. They have meeting rooms and classrooms and restrooms and everything. And this is where they meet. There's about 50 members in the congregation. And here's the sign on the front door. Literally, this means, here is gathered a Church of Christ. And I kind of like that. That's a nice way of saying that. You can see they meet on Sunday and on Wednesday. They have Bible classes on Sunday at 9 o'clock and worship hour at 9:45. In fact, the word there that looks like our English letter B by the 9 o'clock time kind of looks like Bible teaching, but literally it means biblical reflection, which again, I think that's something that's interesting. I like that. It's a time to reflect on God's word and to study it. And that's what they do. And so this is the sign outside the door. Inside their auditorium, this is kind of the front of the auditorium. You'll see a podium there with a microphone and computer where they can show slides. Over to the right, back in that corner, you see a little boxed off area, and that's their baptistry. They built a baptistry in there. They've got chairs set up. Toward the back of the auditorium, they actually have a pretty extensive library back there. Interestingly, I'd say a good third of these books are in English, which may seem a little unusual. It would be unusual here if a third of our books were in German. But my experience with traveling in Europe is that most people in Europe know multiple languages. I mean, even the city of Basel is on the border of three different countries. And so nearly everybody in Basel can speak Swiss German, German, a little French, and of course English. And that's just that's not the educated people, that's everybody. That's just the way they are. And so they have a number of books there in English as well. And this is a picture that I took after services on Sunday morning. Christians everywhere are exactly the same. They stand around and talk. And that's what they did too. This is a picture of the group at the end of the service. Kind of in the back, you may see my dad in a red shirt, and my mother is actually in a black top speaking to the woman in yellow. But they stood around and spoke the whole time for a good while. Here is a picture of the preacher. His name is Holger Koch. This is him and his family. Holger has actually been preaching there for about 20 years, and about 12 years or so ago, the congregation asked him to work full-time. And so that's what he does. He works full-time for this congregation. Wonderful man. I enjoyed getting to know him, just as friendly as anything. He and his whole family are. They're just fantastic. But he's the preacher there. On the left, of course, is Barbara Jo. On the right is a girl, 17 years old. She lives there in Basel. Her name is Judith Minter. And when she found out that we were from North Alabama, she got all excited. And the very first words out of her mouth was, "I'm sorry, in Switzerland, we don't have good sweet tea." And so that was kind of strange. But come to find out, she was an exchange student last year. And she stayed about 6 months with a Christian family in Smyrna, Tennessee. And while she's over here, she developed a taste, naturally, for good sweet tea. And so it was interesting that that's what she identified with people from this area of the country, because that was the very first thing she said to us as soon as she found out where we were from. Also, that morning are two ladies here. This is Sophia and her mother Cheryl. And they worship, when they're in the States, they worship with the congregation in Colorado Springs. And Colorado Springs is where Jared and Bonnie Hagen preach. Now, Jared went to school with Norm down at Florida College, and he married Bonnie, and Bonnie is a McCowan and grew up over here at Gooch Lane in Madison. In fact, her mom and dad, Brad and Pam, still worship over there, and Brad's one of the deacons. It's not a small world. It's great. It's a great big family. Doesn't matter wherever you go, you'll find connections. And it's because we're all family. I want to discuss some ways they made us feel welcome while we were there. And I don't mention this to say they're better than we are or we're better than they are. It's just that they seem to take the extra step into making us feel special, making us feel welcome. And maybe there's some things that I can learn from this on how to make others feel special and feel welcome when they come into our congregation. So let me explain some of these things. First of all, they helped us with our bags. Now you think, well, Barry, that's not a big deal. Well, actually, it is a big deal. Traveling in Europe, well, let me say it this way. If you want to, you can rent a vehicle as you travel in Europe. But that's very expensive, and I'm not sure where you'd park, and it's very inefficient. The best way to travel in Europe is by train and by walking. And so when we traveled to Basel, we got off the train and we carried our suitcases or drug our suitcases, about a half a mile or so to our hotel was. Spent Saturday night there, got up Sunday morning and walked maybe a third of a mile from the hotel to where they worship. It was a nice, cool morning. It was actually a really pleasant walk. But think about what this is. This is a group of 40 people. And a group of 8 walk in with backpacks and all dragging suitcases. So, 20% of their whole number has now brought in all this luggage. Imagine if 25 people showed up at our door here, each dragging pieces of luggage. Where would we put all those? Well, my parents had contact. They've worshipped there before, so they had contacted them. They knew we were coming. And so the instant we walked in the door, immediately 5 or 6 men jump up to help us. They already had prepared a place for all of our luggage to sit, where it was protected. Here's luggage just stashed everywhere. But they took care of us when we came in. They took care of our bags. And they did that because we're family. And they wanted us to feel welcome. Next thing they did, they spoke to us. We arrived about 20 minutes prior to Bible class starting, so about 8:40. And during that 20 minutes, I didn't speak to any of the other 7 in our group. And the reason is because all 8 of us were surrounded by them. And they were asking us all kinds of questions. What's your name? Where are you from? Why are you here in Switzerland? Where are you planning on going to Switzerland? Is there anything we can do to help you? Tell us about the congregation where you attend. Is it big? Is it small? How many older people? How many younger people? What kind of Bible classes do you have? They want to know about you. They want to know about us. And it's because we're all family. They helped us understand the Bible lesson. As I said, they speak German. I don't speak German. Not a word. Not a word of German. And so before class, we were sitting there, and Holger Koch came over, and he said, "This morning we're going to be studying our class from Acts, the 9th chapter." Holger speaks pretty good English. He said, "We'll be studying from Acts 9 about the conversion of Saul, and I'll do my best to keep you up to date with what we're doing." And during the whole Bible class, he would probably speak for a minute or so, 2 minutes, completely in German, just teaching the class. But then he would stop, and he would say a sentence or two in English. And he did that for our benefit. We were the only ones in there that needed it. But he knew that he wanted to keep us engaged because he knew why we were there. We were there to worship and study God's Word. And so he wanted to keep us engaged like that. That allowed us to participate in worship. Before we started class, I noticed a gentleman speaking to my dad and to Norm. And there seemed to be a sort of serious discussion, not just the casual conversation that the rest of us were having, and I wondered what they were talking about. Well, when we got to the service and we got to the Lord's Supper, the man spoke. He read from this Bible about the account of the crucifixion of Jesus. And then he led a prayer for the bread. And then he called on Dad to lead a prayer in English for the bread. Why is that? Well, it's because they understand, like we do, that's the most important thing that we're doing. That's why we come together. That's why we traveled all the way to Basel. And it was very important for us to completely understand what was taking place. And after the bread, they said a prayer for the fruit of the vine, and they called on Norm to lead a prayer for the fruit of the vine so that we would be able to participate right along with them. They helped us understand the sermon. When we got time for the worship hour, Holger again came around to us, and he handed each eight of us a pack of papers. It's 4 pages long. But this is a word-for-word English translation of the sermon he was about to deliver in German. And do you know how long it took him to do this? Remember, English, he speaks English, but it's not his native language. Yet the night before, he took the time to type out the entire sermon in English for us. And he's got the verses in there. And as he preached, he would put up a slide up on the screen. And at the top, it would have the verse in German. And at the bottom, it would have the verse in English. So we were able to look at our paper, find out where he was, read through the verses, and then read the text underneath there. And about the time we got through reading the text in English underneath there, we would look up and he would be to the next verse. But he did that because we're family. And they wanted us to feel welcome. They also fed us. They're just like us. After services on Sunday morning, they're hungry. I'm hungry. I couldn't wait to get home at noon today to eat. And so after the service, we were kind of gathering our luggage and our backpacks and everything. And they said, "What are you planning on doing?" And we said, "Well, we're just going to walk up here to the train station. We're going to take the train down to Lauterbrunnen today. But we're going to walk to the train station. When we're there, we'll pick up something to eat at the train station." And they said, "We've prepared food for you." "What?" I said, "Well, you know, you haven't been at home in 3 days and you haven't had a good home-cooked meal and you're going to be eating out the next week for the most part. You deserve a home-cooked meal, and some of the members have fixed that for you." It was so good, I took a picture of it. Some sort of pasta dish. I'm not sure what was in that sauce. Could have been Swiss chocolate. I don't know, but it was delicious. But about a dozen of them took us, and they had food for us. And it was delicious. But more than that, it was good because they had cared enough about us to want to take care of us. It's because we're family. They allowed us to worship with them. Despite our cultural differences, our worship periods are very similar. They start off with announcements. They have prayers. They have the Lord's Supper. They read from the Scripture. And they listen to God's Word being preached. They partake of the Lord's Supper. And they sing. And I'm going to try something here. But I thought you'd like to hear them sing. I'm sorry. Isn't that one of the most beautiful things you've heard? Nearer, still nearer. God has established His kingdom so that when we travel across town or across the state, across the country, or even across the ocean, if we look hard enough, we can find members of our own family. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we want to thank You for allowing us to call You our Father, as it means that we are all part of the same family. At this time, we're thankful for this family that You've created, and for all of our brothers and sisters around the world who are living their lives every day in service to You. Help us, Father, to lean on each other as we're all on our journey toward heaven. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the classrooms in Basel, they have this poster. As they're teaching them about being part of the body of Christ. Each of those pictures are people worshiping in the congregation in Basel. And they're talking about how all of them incorporate the body of Christ. These are your brothers and sisters. Being part of the family of God is a wonderful thing. But you don't have the blessings of being part of the family unless you've done what God has said. God wants you to be part of His family. If you have a need to respond, please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.